Good news and bad news on the podcast daily. Good news, spring game was fun, competitive, exciting, and Ohio State is really, really talented. Bad news, spring football is over. And so we're going to have to talk about the spring game for the next, like, I don't know, a million months until the opener. That's Bill Landis, Jeremy Birmingham. I am Austin Ward. Got a couple superlatives. Berm wants to break it down. He called it this, Monday musings on the podcast daily. Those are his words. They're not mine. And that's what we're going to get into. Berm, you said you wanted to start with one thing that we all liked. So you are going first.
Oh, okay. One thing I don't like is that the transfer portal opens on Tuesday. So if you're thinking about bad news,
you structured the show this way and you've already gone off script.
That's the way it works.
This is why we don't do scripts.
I liked that Ryan Day and the offense understood that the passing game was going to be kind of a mess because of the wind on Saturday. And it was pretty darn windy there. So we should be clear. Like, we're talking a pretty sustained 25, 30 mile an hour wind throughout most of the day and gusts, like where I was on the field with a monopod and nearly being blown over, like off balance. I don't think that the more I've reflected on the game, and I was like kind of disappointed and annoyed at first that they didn't let Will Howard and Devin Brown really air it out. But I think that because of how windy it was, they dialed that back. And I think that that's probably better in the long run, because the picture that we got to see, I don't think would have been fair to those guys based on how the weather was. So that's something I really like. I like that the staff was willing to adjust their game plan heading into the spring game based on the weather. And they were.
Can you pick something else, please? Because that's terrible.
You don't like it?
That's how we're going to start the show.
It's a fair point to make, I suppose. But how about something to do with the football team?
Okay. I like that. I feel far more confident in Ohio State's defensive end depth now than I did heading into Saturday morning, because I firmly believe that both Mitchell Melton and Edrick Houston are going to play and play a lot for Ohio State and be disruptive for Larry Johnson. And I think, again, as we head into Tuesday, there's going to be a ton of speculation about guys all over the roster and who could leave and who might not. And I think that the discovery of more pieces that you can play with like that, especially as a true freshman like Edrick Houston, especially a long-term veteran like Mitchell Melton, who's gone through so much, I think is very, very valuable. And I did not really expect to feel that good about the defensive end depth before Saturday.
Edrick Houston looks like a certified dude.
Mm-hmm. He's bigger than he was a year ago. Bill, do you remember last season we were standing on the field and he walked down the tunnel before one of the games and we were like, oh, is that what a five-star defensive end looks like? And now, like, it's what a five-star defensive end looks like.
Yeah, he's transformed a bit, which is good for him. I was not expecting him to like flash the way that he did in that game. Like, he to me seemed like someone who it might take a year or two for him to like really start showing that five-star potential. And I'm not, maybe it will, right? But I thought that his debut in Ohio Stadium was far more interesting and exciting than I anticipated it being.
All right, Bill, what did you like the most on Saturday?
There was a lot I liked. And I've also rewatched the game. Shout out to all you sickos out there who have also rewatched the spring game. I have been probably unnecessarily focused on like who the backup nickel is, because Jordan Hancock is really good. So like, of course he's going to play all the meaningful snaps, but I just kind of find it like an interesting conversation. And there's a lot of guys potentially in that mix. And I love what I saw out of Jermaine Matthews playing that position on Saturday. He had the first play I think he made was when he came down on that little pass to the flat to Patrick Gerd and had a tackle for loss. There was a play later in the game where he was covering somebody and it seemed like he kind of recognized the play. So he like fell off of his man and drove on, I think it was Kojo Antwi, like on a slant, and Kojo caught the ball, but Jermaine like met him instantly and made sure there was no yards after the catch opportunities there. And like, I knew he was a physical player in the sense of like, he likes to hand fight. He's not afraid to get a little down and dirty, like playing the outside cornerback position, but I wasn't 100% sure if he could make tackles like that in space, if he had maybe the required physicality to just like hit people in the box the way that he was doing on Saturday. So I don't know what it means for his future, right? I think we all believe he could be really good playing on the outside as well. And to show that versatility, I think is good long-term, obviously. But If I had only been considering him as a guy who would eventually be a starter on the outside, I now view him as a guy who could potentially be a starter at nickel too. And also, you know, the fact that he can play there, I think is just another way for him to potentially get on the field this fall. If he's like the third outside corner, but maybe he's also the second nickel, or maybe in that sense, he's also like the 60 B on the field. If they ever do a dime package, like he's just a far more versatile player maybe than even I appreciated based off what we saw from him last year, which was really promising. So it was fun to see him play in a different spot and show up in a really good way.
Normally after a game, I let you two handle the Monday daily for your rewatch because you two are both such film watching sickos. But since I was going to be on this one, Bill, I did jump back into a rewatch, but I could not make it through all four quarters of that. The game, there was diminishing returns the longer you got into it. So there were two things that I liked early on in the first quarter that I thought were noteworthy. And I didn't expect to see. One was the spin move for Will Howard into the wing T alignment that Ohio State and Chip Kelly unveiled. I asked Chip about that after the game on Saturday, and he credited Mr. Hayes for that.
Hayes.
Woody Hayes. He has a building named after him where the Buckeyes still practice to this day. That's one way to get Quinshon Judkins and Travion Henderson on the field at the same time. I don't know how often we're going to see it. Chip Kelly said that they ran it that formation 21 times at UCLA last year. I think I'd probably be surprised if we see it that many times at Ohio State, but maybe we will. But it was one example, I think, of many that we saw throughout the 4 to 5 open viewing periods or full scrimmages or whatever we got throughout spring of more diversity in the run game. I imagine that you're probably going to talk about that in greater depth and detail than I could, but you could just, I can't do any of the X's and O's breaking it down, but that formationally, some of the stuff we saw with misdirection encounters with Emeka Egbuka at times throughout spring suggests that there is going to be some fresh blood and new looks here for Ohio State on the ground. So that was the first thing. That was the very first play of the game. Mm-hmm. So that's cherry picking from the start, but Chip Kelly didn't mess around to show some of that stuff. And then at the end of the first drive, you had made a point to on subtext to point out JT and Jack lined up together on the left side of the defensive line and a new wrinkle there for Larry Johnson and the Rushman. But it wasn't just that. There were four defensive ends on the field for that play that resulted in a sack. Jack Sawyer came from inside JT to Imoloau, lined up in a matchup against Carson Hinsman, which is pretty favorable for Jack Sawyer, but you also had Caden Curry, Ty Hamilton, and Kenyatta Jackson on the field. So there have been a number of times throughout the years where the extent of Larry Johnson's tinkering or experimentation with personnel packages is the Rushman with three defensive ends. We've seen that sometimes four be really successful, but this was a look with five defensive linemen on the field. And that's another similar to what we're talking about here, right? With the Ohio State running backs. A way to get some of your best players on the field. Doesn't have to be every down, but a little bit of variety can go a long way.
I missed Ty Hamilton being out there. I tweeted about it, and then I wrote about it at Rivals too. And then both occasions, people were like, you know, Ty Hamilton was also out there. And I think I was just so caught up in seeing Jack and JT on the same side that I missed them.
I like that Austin admits to starting a rewatch and it lasted all of one drive.
No.
He's like, beyond that, I watched the first play and I watched the third play and it was it.
I watched more than one drive, but not the entire game. And that's all I'm going to say about it.
I appreciate the effort. I'm going to stick with, you know, moving off of the what we liked to the what maybe disappointed us in some way or like we would have liked to see more from. And I'm going to stick with the quarterbacks because I really thought, even though they weren't throwing the ball as much, I thought that there was an opportunity to play a lot more of Devin Brown and Will Howard yesterday or Saturday, sorry, because today's Monday. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. That joke never gets old. And the reason why I really wanted to see those guys out there, and I guess I sort of understand the catch-22 it puts the coaches in, because then the conversation about those guys would be extrapolated and exacerbated in a way that maybe gets untenable. But I don't think that it's the right opportunity for Lincoln Kienholz or Aaron Noland or Julian Sain to really get out there and show what they're capable of in those situations and those limited switching out roles. And I think that maybe there's some broad brush strokes that are being applied to all three of them based on what we saw on Saturday that I think is a little bit like damning for them and unfortunate, especially for Lincoln Kienholz and Julian Sain, who Julian Sain threw, what, three interceptions on Saturday and certainly looked like a freshman. And then you see Aaron Nolan make, you know, what appeared to be the biggest strides he's made all spring. So that's good for him. But I just think that we could have seen more out of Will Howard and Devin Brown and just sort of let those guys, because both of them still need a lot of work in the Ohio State offense, no matter who the starter ends up being. And I feel like there was a missed opportunity to let them just get more of those reps, especially for Will Howard in Ohio Stadium, because he's never played in anything like that before.
I almost feel like you're going to have to redo another biggest disappointment or most disappointment, because aren't we all three going to share that? Didn't we all want to see more of Will Howard and Devin Brown in this game? Like even Urban Meyer on the broadcast was like, well, it's difficult to try and manage reps for five guys. Like, you want to see your top two get more work so they can get developed and get comfortable in the offense. And like, that's the biggest challenge that Ryan Day has. I mean, he doesn't have to approach it that way. That's again, another catch 22 that you've brought up throughout spring, Berms. Like, well, why don't you want to also get Julian Sain, Lincoln Kienholz, and Aaron Noland better? Of course you do. That's why we've seen some of the split squad rep stuff in the last year or so, because they want everyone to be involved and to get better in these opportunities. But Urban saying that out loud was a reminder to me that, like, it is different, that the ones your starting quarterback does need a higher volume of reps. And if you are trying to decide, which it does certainly seem to be, Bill, that this is only a conversation between Devin Brown and Will Howard to be the starting quarterback for this team, like, there's not a harm of giving them more, a larger piece of the rep pie to get through spring camp when they don't get another opportunity to work with coaches again till August.
Yeah, they each only got two drives. I think maybe in hindsight, like, I also get, like, in today's transfer climate, you have to try to play everybody. Like, I understand that's difficult. Maybe I would have liked to see Devin and Will just get the entire first half, which maybe would have given them, I think, each another drive. So, like, three drives apiece, maybe one guy gets four, and then the other guy can start the second half if it's not balanced out, and then the young guys can play the rest of the game. So it was weird. Like, I think they combined for, what, 18 pass attempts or something like that?
No, 21, I think, right?
Or 21, 13, that's right.
13 for Will, 13 for Will and 8 for Devin.
Yeah. So it was just a very small sample size that I would, you know, we talked about going into it, like, how much are they going to play them? And I didn't think they were going to play them the whole game, but I think they ended up playing probably, I don't know, a drive or two less than I hoped they would.
Do you think that, I mean, I feel like you're entering a situation, and it's a fair thing to bring up the transfer portal and the concerns about that. But, like, if you have these two things to be afraid of, there's one, there's the transfer portal, and there's other, which is your starting quarterback is not getting enough reps and is not going to be ready to play come season time. Which one's scarier? And to me, it's having a starting quarterback that isn't entirely ready to take the reins at Ohio State in what should be a national championship contending season. So, like, I understand fully that you want to balance things out, but I also think that there's a conversation that you can have with Lincoln Kienholz, with Aaron Noland, and with Julian Sain to say, look, guys, you've done great work over these first 14 practices. We're encouraged by what we've seen out of you guys, but we had hoped to have a starting quarterback figured out by now. And not only do we not have one figured out by now, we're not really close to having one figured out right now, at least based on what we've seen publicly. So I think that's a little bit frustrating for everyone, but I also think that it puts in motion here, as the transfer portal opens, a situation where, were Devin Brown to leave, and I think we can all agree, if one of those two was to say, hey, I'm not going to continue this competition, it would probably make sense for it to be Devin based on the fact that Will's got 1 year left and all those other factors. I think that you would have to then be willing as a coaching staff to allow that to happen, knowing full well that maybe you didn't get a complete picture. And that, to me, is frustrating, because the idea over these first 15 practices is to make sure that you know what the picture looks like. And I don't think that they do.
Fair.
Yeah.
Bill, anything that disappointed you?
Yeah, I guess mine is similar. So they had that drive where they were backed up, not quite on the goal line, but like inside the five, and Will Howard got that drive, and the starting offensive line was out there. And I actually kind of felt like the starting offensive line got rolling a little bit on that drive, and Tegra Shabola was playing at right guard there. It was the second drive in a row that he had played right guard. They started with Carson Hinsman there, and then Tegra got the next two with the first team offensive line. And then the first team offensive line didn't play again after that. And I think I would have liked to see like another drive or two from that group. It just felt to me like maybe Tegra had a little bit of momentum, and I would have liked to have seen another drive or two with like he and Josh Fryer kind of playing together. What's that going to look like? Because I thought that like I didn't really like at all what I saw from Tegra at tackle in the spring game. Nor have I liked what I've seen from Tegra at tackle, like in the little bit of practice we've seen him do that. But I think the guard stuff has looked pretty good. And I'm not merely trying to like pump up my own assertions prior to the spring game. I just they're trying to figure out who the starting right guard should be. And I thought that Tegra like looked kind of good playing right guard. And you know, maybe those two drives are enough for the staff to feel the same way. But when, you know, offensive line feels a little bit to me like a momentum position, and there was nothing stopping them from letting that group go out and get another drive or two to see if he and Josh Fryer couldn't keep building upon that. So that was like, aside from the quarterback stuff, that was kind of the one thing to me that was a bummer.
I was disappointed that they didn't just play one-on-one on special teams after Jaden Fielding and Carnell Tate were standing out there for 6 minutes before the delayed kickoff. Like, that should be a fun new way to do special teams, don't you think? If we're looking for new solutions and cutting down injuries, just go one-on-one. And then you have to decide, should I put out like a linebacker or a safety as my new kicker? And like, can you directionally kick it to have a race to the football? Like, I think they'd missed an opportunity to try some new stuff.
I think you're onto something. I think you can have the kicker plus one, and the kicker is just not allowed to make a tackle. He's allowed to kick, but he can't do anything else.
What if your kicker is a 6'5", 220-pound Australian? Then can you put them out there and let them go after it, get after it?
I mean, that's your decision. It's like hockey. If you pull the goalie, you get two guys out there. You can do whatever you want. You can do whatever you want from that point.
Yeah.
But seriously, cool. Austin, that's not real. What it was.
Oh, okay. The quarterbacks and rotating at guard, I think, were the obvious ones and the ones that I looked to first. And I didn't feel like there was a lot for Ohio State to be disappointed about or sad that they didn't really see beyond that. I think collectively Ohio State would have liked to see Will Howard and Devin Brown lead scoring touchdown drives with the starting offense, and that would give you a greater sense of security about what this team might look like heading into late August perhaps. But the flip side of that is Ohio State's defense is so freaking good. It's that you put together even a couple first downs on them, which I don't mean that as a backhanded compliment. That's an accomplishment. This is going to be the best defense in America. So it makes it difficult to evaluate, hey, Carson Hinsman got bowled over for that sack by Jack Sawyer. Well, he had to block Jack Sawyer. Like, he's not going to have to do that in a lot of games. And I understand that when we're talking about the finer details of Oregon, Penn State, Michigan, college football playoff, like, you're going to have to hold up against really good defensive linemen. I understand that. But the barrage that comes from having to practice against Ohio State, snap in and snap out throughout a spring, throughout a training camp, is not easy. So you hope that means by the time they get into the season that, you know, coaches use that cliche all the time, like Saturday for Ohio State should be the easiest day of the week. You hope that that's true, and maybe it will be. So I thought it just made it tough to watch Ohio State's offense and think, well, where's the explosion? Where's the firepower? Well, they'll probably look more explosive and shoot off more fireworks when they're not playing the Silver Bullets.
And also, if they weren't playing one hand tap on Travion Henderson, because he would have had like a 65-yard touchdown run. I mean, so there are moments that the offense had an opportunity to explode, and then they got whistled dead for no reason. So, like, right. That's a touchdown drive for, I think that was a Will Howard drive. Like, there's things that they could have done differently that would have allowed those big plays, because there was at least one where Crenshaw was going to run people over 20 yards downfield, and Travion had one where he juked somebody out of their shorts and was going to score from 50 plus. So, like, they did take away some of that almost on purpose, it seemed like.
Yeah. Also, don't punt from the 30 in a spring game.
That was maybe the most disappointing thing of the whole day. Like,
the spring game is about a bit absurd for the end of November.
If Ryan Day punts from the 30 in any game, I'm going to lose it.
when you've got this type of defense, you just do what you do. Okay.
Okay. Fine. Let's maybe try kicking the wind was at their back. They could have kicked a 47-yard field goal.
I mean, we saw Jaden Fielding making them from like 50 plus in warm-up. So let's move on to something that surprised you. And I'm afraid that's going to happen here is that what surprised me will be a disappointment in like a pretty dress. Okay. I am surprised for
sexy
as much
disappointment.
Yeah. As much as Kenyatta Jackson was on the field, I did not see him do anything that was like, oh, look at that. Like I saw out of Edric Houston and like I saw out of Mitchell Melton or like I saw out of Caden Curry or like I saw out of a lot of other defensive linemen. And that is a surprise to me because we've heard so much about Kenyatta Jackson in the last year plus that I would have predicted that he would have a pretty healthy day knowing that he was going up against backup offensive linemen and in some cases third string offensive linemen. And I correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't remember seeing like a play where he flashed, and that was somewhat surprising to me.
Yeah, I mean Mitchell Melton and Edric Houston, I think definitely, and like Jack Sawyer, obviously. I don't know. I think there might be a couple of run stops where Kenyatta got in there, but yeah, I mean he didn't have three sacks if that's what you were expecting.
I would have liked to have seen just like one or I don't know, something where you saw him blow somebody up. I just didn't see those things, and I was surprised to see that because the athletic ability he has is probably on par or better than anybody on the defensive line. And I just like last year it seemed like there was a ton of preseason talk about him and the expectation he was going to burst onto the scene, and he played a lot a year ago for Ohio State, and I don't think that he really took the step that people thought. Now he wasn't playing 40 plus 50, you know, 45 snaps a game, but in 15 to 20 snaps a game, I don't think he had the type of year that we were expecting him to heading into it. And then there's been a lot of discussion this offseason about, is he ready to push, you know, and force Larry to rotate more with JT and Jack? And I don't know that he's shown that. And that is surprising to me. Again, I was worried it might be wrapped up in, or look like a disappointment wrapped up, but it's just one of those things where I'm not sure that. Like doesn't seem like he was there.
I'm not sure that the criteria for this show that you set, that you actually address them specifically in each segment of the show.
That's the beauty of the show, man. We're just we freewheel it. We just sit here. We slap a da boss.
We do. We slap a da boss. Bill, what do you got?
This wasn't terribly surprising. Like it wasn't a 10 out of 10 on the surprise scale, but like James Peoples, I think, surprised me. Even though like I thought we had saw some things earlier in spring practice that showed that he might be able to help them early in his career. It's probably magnified by the fact that Dallin Hayden is not here anymore and will be in the transfer portal officially this week. I thought James Peoples ran really well. Sam Williams Dixon ran well too. I'm not trying to exclude him, but I like James Peoples' power, his balance. I saw someone compare him to like Carlos Hyde, who I did not cover, but certainly I've watched. And I think I kind of see that comparison as well.
I'm not sure I'm going to go to that level. Carlos Hyde was a bowling ball. They're built.
Yeah. I mean, he's not Carlos Hyde now. But
Let me ask you this comparison. And it's maybe a little bit before both your time, but Dave Biddle at Bucknut said that he thought
great running back, Dave Biddle.
He thought he reminded Dave of Boom Heron. Is that appropriate?
Yeah,
that's probably warmer to me.
I could see that.
He's thicker than you think, like because he's a short kid, but like he is well put together.
Yeah, no, but Carlos was more like.
Yeah, Carlos was 5'11", 225. I mean,
he was built very differently. And if you had said like, does Mayan Williams have some Carlos Hyde to him, I would say yes, but I don't know that I would make the same comparison here, but that's neither here nor there. That's just not for me.
Yeah. It doesn't matter who he's compared to. What matters is he looks like he can play. He looks like Barry Sanders. Thank you. Thank you for pulling that name out of the air.
Wearing that number 20. I mean, he looks 5'8". I mean, he looks like Barry Sanders.
I'm sorry that we hijacked this from you, Bill.
It's totally fine.
Sorry.
The idea of a true freshman being your third running back makes me a little nervous, but
Why though? I don't mean to interrupt you, but why? If you look back in even the last 20 years, yeah. Marty Claret, Beanie Wells, J.K. Dobbins, fair. Like yeah. Trevion Henderson, like it, running back is the spot on the field where if a true freshman is able to do it, like that's the one where you think. I mean, I think they're fortunate he doesn't have to be their guy because they have the maybe the two best running backs in the country in front of him. But I think that that's actually the luxury they have, right?
No, it's fair. No, it's a fair point. I think generally freshmen like being that close to the field makes me a little nervous unless like they're Jeremiah Smith. But he's good. He's quite good. Maybe it's a little easier at running back. It probably is definitely a little easier at running back. This is just a long way of saying, I guess, that like I don't know what they're going to do addressing that position in terms of potentially adding somebody via the portal. But I feel like I'm okay coming out of the spring game if they don't do anything. Like that's how much I was impressed by James Peoples and Sam Williams Dixon. And then like T.C. Caffey can help you too, I think, if you get down that far in depth.
I think I was wrong on my bold prediction that T.C. Caffey was going to be given a scholarship at the end of the spring game. I still stand by that occurring, and that will be the way they answer the scholarship depth issue at tailback.
Mm-hmm. He'll get if they don't want to do that immediately because they want to retain the flexibility to add in the portal. Certainly by August, you would think that T.C. Caffey has a scholarship.
Yeah, I'm willing to place a dinero on that.
Only one?
One dinero.
One dinero. I'm disappointed in myself for not having paid close enough attention to Calvin Simpson Hunt in any of the previous practice windows that we had, because that guy is also an incredibly good cornerback. He got a lot of opportunities in coverage on Saturday. Felt to me like he was making the most of them, not just when he was getting the football in his hands at the end of those. Like certainly everybody noticed that, but he can absolutely fly. He appears to have the willingness to come up and make some tackles and play physically. Ohio State's in a position where I don't know what that actually means in terms of snaps for him, because you have Jermaine Matthews, Denzel Burke, and Davis Nigbinosun all ahead of him in the pecking order. Berm, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't Calvin Simpson Hunt in some places have a better recruiting profile than Jermaine Matthews?
And I think three out of the four places had him, three out of the four major recruiting sites had him ranked ahead of Jermaine. But I mean, the difference is he came in last June and Jermaine came in last January. So he had the opportunity to really build something and put in some equity with the program ahead of time. And that is invaluable. Like you cannot understand how much more important it is for kids to get in early. Like the things they learn, the opportunities they get, are just leaps and bounds better than guys that come in mid-year. They come in May.
So that was some of the most extensive work that I've tracked and seen from him. And I feel regret for never really including him in the conversation with those top three. It's great for the future of BIA that this is how deep the pipeline goes. Because I thought even there were a couple plays maybe in the second half where I saw Aaron Scott and was like, okay, that dude's ready to play too. So Tim Walton's doing some pretty good things, and he appears to have those guys ready to go. And Denzel Burke was talking about that a little bit after the game and asked him just like what it's like to be in that room right now. And he's like, well, it's the best defense in America, so it's pretty fun. And it's hard to argue with that.
It's a shame that Fox ruined three pick sixes by having a cameraman on the field, because that is why I was told. I went to the source and I asked, how come you blew these interceptions dead? Because they were all going to score. Calvin Simpson Hunt was going to score. Jalen McClain was going to score. And Deontay Griffin was going to score. And because Fox had cameramen behind the defense and they didn't want the cameraman to get run over on the pick six return. So that's why the whistle blew immediately on all the interceptions.
Garbage. You went to the head of officiating on Saturday?
I did. I wanted to know what happened, because the bold prediction I made about Jalen McClain having a pick six meant a lot to me. Okay. And when he cut in front of that pass in the second quarter and housed it, I stood there on the sideline, the sun beating down. I was illuminated for a moment. I had what I felt was a celestial experience. Because I'd never felt so vindicated and so correct in all my days. And unfortunately, the official score does not reflect what actually happened. And that's
meanwhile,
in
the press box, a storm cloud came right over my head and I said, oh no,
Yeah.
He's going to be insufferable about this now.
Yeah. Yeah, I was this close. And then they took it away from me. That cameraman took it away from me because they were worried.
I'll give it to you.
They were worried for his safety. Come on. I was worried about my safety. My safety, Jalen McClain, who returned a pick six for, you know, to the house.
I'm willing to count that as correct.
Yes. So I think that means when we start the regular season, I'm the king.
I think that's right.
Yes. What a great offseason this is going to be.
I wish you hadn't done that, Bill. You've taken it too far.
Sorry. Roosters, 11:30 Monday. We're going to talk more spring game, right?
We're going to talk a lot more about the spring game when we get to Roosters for the live show on Monday. We'll have still plenty of content throughout this week as we break down what we saw on Saturday, what's going to happen in the offseason. I'm sure there will be some news for us to get to with some snap judgments brought to you by Byers Auto in the days ahead as the transfer portal opens on Tuesday. We'll get to all of that and a little bit more. Should have some Buck 9 coming as well, some more of that. Hope you're enjoying those interview segments. We're going to get more of those at Fairway Columbus. So all that's still going on. What do you got, Bill?
Kings of Columbus will be back this week. We're going to do a texter question show on Wednesday. So look out for that too.
All right. So that is what you've got coming on the podcast in the week ahead. Thanks for joining us on the Monday edition. For Bill Landis and Jeremy Birmingham, I am Austin Ward, and we will talk to you later.